we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I spend Monday through Friday with you here on 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. We are talking about the kingdom of God, and today we are specifically going to be addressing the nature of the kingdom, and that's something that we don't talk about a whole lot, but it's really where we want to go with this. I want to help you to understand that. Let me say it this way: did you know that heaven's not an American culture? It's true that God speaks English, but English is not the language of heaven. God speaks Spanish. You know, I know a lot of Spanish people, and they say that Spanish is going to be the language of heaven. The truth of the matter is, I don't know what the language of heaven is. I do know that God is eloquent and fluent in every language here on earth. But too many times we think that our culture is what the culture of the kingdom is. And what I'm trying to communicate through the word of God as we are dealing with these issues is to let you know that many times the culture of the kingdom is diametrically opposed to some of the cultural norms that we have in our lives. And at that point in time, just like I always said, if I hold to a position and the word of God holds a different position, I need to change my position to line up with the word, not change the word to line up with my position. The same is true with our culture. We need to adapt our culture to what the word of God is looking for instead of trying to convince God to change heaven so that we're culturally comfortable. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. So today we're going to be in Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, and I'm going to read one verse, actually two verses, and it says in verse number 17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." So here, as Paul's writing to the Romans, he describes the kingdom culture. Now, before I begin addressing that situation, I want to share this with you. And, you know, you might not like this, or you might. It's okay either way. But we need to really realize the importance of the king. Wherever the king is, the kingdom is going to be there. We've talked about that on some other programs, but the thing that makes heaven heaven is the reality of Jesus. It's not the streets of gold. It is not seeing the loved ones who've passed away. It is not no more sickness, no more tears, no more death. All of those are some of the benefits, but the thing that makes heaven heaven is the fact that the king of heaven is Jesus. And so the reason that it's a desirable place is not just to avoid hell. The reason that heaven is a desirable place is because Jesus is there, and we want to see Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. That's what he said, is I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. That is the central focus of the kingdom. As far as to give you an idea of where we are versus kingdom mindset. Much of American weddings are focused on the bride. You know, so the bride spends however much money the bride wants to spend on the wedding dress, and the bride plans the wedding that she is looking for, and all everything in American weddings revolve around the bride. And that was not the way that it was in biblical times. That's not the way that the culture of the kingdom is described. It is true that you are loved. I don't want you to think that I'm not saying that, because you are absolutely loved. This is not a loveless covenant relationship that we're talking about when we're talking about a biblical kingdom. But everything in the kingdom revolves around the king. And so when Vashti disobeyed a king's order, even though she was the queen, even though she was the bride of the king, whenever she did that, whenever she rejected the authority of the king, she was banished from the presence of the king. The difference between Vashti and Esther was this. One of them was looking forward to coming into the king's presence, and the other was looking for an excuse as to why not to. So if I can talk to you about the nature of the kingdom today, it's this. It's not just a Sunday kingdom. It is not just a once a week kingdom. The king rules and reigns at all times, in all places, in all atmospheres. He is the king in spiritual matters. He's the king in physical matters. He's the king in emotional and relational and financial matters. He's the king over wisdom. He is the king over health. He is the king over holiness. He is the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. He is the king. And it would greatly benefit us to realize that every day we get up, we serve the king. I've noticed that since there was a royal wedding in England earlier this year, a prince got married, and I believe that the lady he married, I believe she is from America originally. I could be wrong on that, but I know she was an American actress and things like that. Don't know much about her. But every once in a while, I'll see things that describes the protocol that is her new reality. You know, there's articles like, well, these people cannot go to bed until the queen goes to bed. The queen is the supreme monarch of England right now. And so they don't get to dismiss themselves. There are certain regulations. There's a protocol to the kingdom, and it all has to do, it's all fixated around the monarch. And folks, I believe that we need to elevate King Jesus to a higher platform in our lives on a daily basis. And we say, you know what? We need to embrace this reality. There is a new protocol for us to live by. Things that some people do not fit the protocol of the kingdom. It is behavior that is not fitting for royalty. And you and I, if we have asked Jesus to forgive us our sins and be the Lord of our life, we need to realize there's been a kingdom dynamic change. We are no longer prisoners of darkness. Now we are spiritual royalty. We are the king's kids. And so it would greatly benefit us to find out what the protocol of the kingdom is. So Romans chapter 14 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." It is not just about existing. It's not about, I like this, but I don't like that. It is not about, okay, where's my next meal going to come from? That it's much more than just the daily existence. There are too many people who are just focused on grinding through today so they can get to tomorrow, so that they can grind through to tomorrow. And if tomorrow doesn't kill me, you know, I'll get to the day after tomorrow. And that is not life abundant. Jesus came that we might have life to the full, life to the uttermost. And it's beyond that daily grind. Now, earlier this year, there was I talked about the focus on the bride versus the focus on the groom, and there was an article that I saw that said that there was a couple that was going to get married, and they wanted, or she wanted, the bride wanted to have a wedding that made her feel like a reality TV star. And so her plan was to charge the guests that were going to come to the wedding this crazy amount of money for the privilege of coming to the wedding. They thought that they would pay for the privilege, and this young lady was so devastated when very few people said that they wanted to shell out that type of money. And her thing was, I just wanted one day to feel special. Well, the reality was, everybody I've ever known on their wedding day, the bride just glowed. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. But I will also tell you this, when I do premarital counseling, I tell people, you know, don't just be fixated on the wedding. You've got a marriage that you've got to focus on after that. And so you've got to keep your eye on that. It's not about the one day event. If there's one thing that Christians are pretty good at, is putting on events. But the kingdom is not an event. The kingdom is a lifestyle. And so it's not eating and it's not drinking. It's got higher priorities. It's got different dynamics at play. And so Paul writes, and he says, the kingdom of God is righteousness. It is right standing before the Father. That's what the kingdom is about. You know, you recognize that it is very, very important to not find yourself in a compromised position before the God who knows everything. So there's a reality. It's not, and if I can put it this way, it's not about doing the wrong thing. It's about having a heart to do the right thing. Angels are constantly before the throne of grace, and when God says go with a message, they go and they discharge that message, and they come back and they say, mission accomplished. That's the kingdom of God. Those angels, those messengers of God, they're not there to deliver their own message, their own interpretation of it. They're not there to put their own spin on it. They say, no, don't worship me. I'm here on the business of the Father. He wanted me to come to you. He wanted me to serve you with this. And so here you have been issued this divine summons. So when we come to prayer, it's not a have to, it is a privilege to be able to come before the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. It's not about, eating. It's not about drinking. It is about righteousness and it is about peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's a peace that surpasses understanding. What does that look like? Now, I will tell you, from watching a lot of programs about historic monarchies and things like that, is that there ends up being this culture within many of those kingdoms, and it's a culture of entitlement, that there are people that are there that are living as beneficiaries of the kingdom, but not having a purpose. And when that becomes the reality, then there becomes a discontent as well as a disconnect. And they end up devolving into just, okay, whatever makes me feel good, whatever, you know, is right in my own eyes, that's what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter what anything else is. It, you know, there were many times that they said, look, we're royalty and we get to live outside of the bonds of biblical norms. And so there's a movie my wife can't hardly watch, because there were people who abused their position inside the kingdom of God. They didn't have any peace. They didn't have any joy. They didn't have any purpose in life. Many times they thought that their purpose was to make other people miserable so it would make them feel good. The kingdom of God is about peace. The peace comes from knowing that my God does all things well. Our Heavenly Father rules in righteousness. He rules in justice. Wherever He rules, enemies flee. Where He rules, there is health, there is life, there is well-being. And there is a peace that comes from knowing that Jesus is on the throne and He's got everything under control. I oftentimes will tell my family that this is a statement that I've made for years, and that is this: if you ever see me and I'm a little discouraged, or I'm, you know, not on the top of my game at that particular point in time, many times it does not have anything to do with what I'm going through at just at that moment. It's that many times I look at my calendar, I look at my schedule, and I see that there's not a break for a considerable period of time. If you have ever heard the line that, wow, I wish I had a job where I only had to work 1.5 hours on Sunday, I want you to know that I've never found that church. I've never been able to serve at that church. There's always been plenty to do. In fact, this year, I tried to do something. I make no pretense about my form of relaxation. My form of relaxation is golf. And so a dear friend of mine who listens to this radio program works at a golf course, and he's blessed me by getting to play that course. And it's a course that a pastor friend of mine treated me to a few years ago, and I actually had a hole in one on that golf course. So it's a course that has a fond memory. So this year they had a membership special, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to join that, so that once I've put the money out there, then I will force myself to go play, because a lot of times I will talk myself out of it. And I discovered that I didn't get to play as much golf as I thought I was going to, because I'm still, my schedule's pretty full. And so, you know, I really wish I've had a lot of good times out there. I, you know, get to go out there and play an entire round of golf in 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 30 minutes. And it's like, ooh, that's my type of thing. But sometimes my schedule is not very relaxed, and I can become discouraged when I see how busy I'm going to be, because I feel overwhelmed by the schedule. When we have peace in the kingdom of God, it's because we know that no matter how frantic our schedule looks like, God's got everything under control. God's got everything under control. Peace in the kingdom of God is not an absence of conflict. Peace in the kingdom of God is a wholeness in every arena of our life that we know that God has this under control. So it's not just a spiritual peace. It's not just emotional. It manifests itself in every arena in our life. So if you're going through a storm today, you can just like Jesus did for the disciples when they were crossing the lake in obedience. They were following the instructions that God had given them. They were trying to get to the other side. They were experts at crossing this lake, and all of a sudden a storm came up, and they're filled with panic, and Jesus rises in the boat, and he says, "Peace, be still," and the storm calmed down. And then he began to address them, and they became aware that the king even had dominion over the elements, over the storms. I got to thinking about that story here a couple of weeks ago, and I realized what a privilege. I mean, do you realize that they were, that those people would have been able to say, you know what? I was there rowing Jesus. It was my privilege to help Jesus accomplish his earthly mission. I mean, what a privilege that would be. And to realize that the devil wanted to kill them in the process, he was actually trying to keep them from seeing a person set free, because Jesus comes to set the captives free. The kingdom of God is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we need to have that joy. So I love to have a good time. And here a couple of, probably 3 weeks ago or so, we were sitting around the dinner table one night, and my wife made a joke about the dog, and it was funny. But the thing that was even more entertaining was my wife laughing at her own joke, and it was funny, and everybody was watching. And so I signaled to my daughter. I said, "Get this, because when my wife begins to laugh, it's jubilant. I mean, it's no holds barred. I mean, and it can go on for days. I mean, it might go on for 10 minutes while she's in the initial reaction, but the next day she can think about it again and be gone just as much. It was absolutely fantastic. That was on a Thursday or a Friday, and my daughter and I had to go pick up my other daughter from the airport one night. We were at a restaurant, and I was telling a story, and my daughter, who looks an awful lot like my wife did when we were much, much younger, she got tickled, and I recorded her, because she is just laughing like crazy. And it went on for quite a while. And I said, like mother, like daughter. I mean, you know what? It's okay to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And I will tell you this, if you've got to go listen to raunchy material, if you've got to go listen to things that are perverted and or mock other people to get you to laugh, I want you to know that's comedic laziness as far as I'm concerned. There is so much that is out there. In fact, we have such a good time at it's not an all the time thing, but we have so much joy. I said, you know what? We need to tone this down, or people are going to think that we've been drinking something, and we don't drink. we don't need any help. I mean, we have a good time. The kingdom of God is about joy in the Holy Spirit. It is not just joy. It's holy joy. It is joy in your relationship with God, who's guiding you into all truth. Listen, if you are lamenting your journey in Christ, you are missing out. You and I, it is supposed to be a joy-filled journey. We are on this journey already, and you don't have to wait till heaven to start experiencing joy. You don't have to wait till your bank account gets inflated to be filled with joy. Be filled with joy right now. You know, when we're driving down the road, it's not uncommon for us to be singing. And if other people just happen to be looking at us while we're singing, well, it's just game on at that point in time. You know, they've done commercials about that sort of stuff. Well, we were doing that long before they made commercials about it. It goes on and it says, "For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." And so there's where we see the kingdom of God. It's the way that we serve our King. We serve him in a manner that is acceptable to him. Too many times we are looking for things that are acceptable to us, but the kingdom of God is saying, God, is this acceptable to you? So the next time you're tempted to live in an unrighteous manner, say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about representing the King. It's about representing the Heavenly Father. This is going to steal peace from me, so I'm going to choose to serve the King because he is pleased when I walk in peace. And I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to serve in joy. Now, I will tell you, I do not succeed at that 100% of the time. I struggle with joy in traffic. I do. It's a confession. Lord, help me. You know, I had a person that I knew one time. He said, I don't put Christian bumper stickers on my car because he struggled with joy in traffic as well. And he said, I don't want people seeing me get mad and then blaming God, you know, and there's jokes about that as well. Make sure that you serve God in a manner that is acceptable to God. And I will tell you what, you live in righteousness and you live in peace and you live in joy and the Holy Spirit. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that men approve of that lifestyle. They might not understand everything, but they're going to say, you know what? It's good to have you as a neighbor. It's good to have you as a coworker. You are a blessing to my life. And so I pray that this week you will walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Remember, kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.